the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. It's your boy Doomsday 519, and this is episode 220 of this here Rant and Wrestling podcast. And of course, my partner in crime in this venture is the man hailing from the West Side, West Side Goth.
Yay, yay!
Oh yeah.
So last night I downloaded Bebe's Kids, right?
Oh man, somebody was just talking about that. I think Stokely was just talking about that yesterday.
You know, and right when I downloaded, I just said, hey Ed, I downloaded Bebe's Kids, and then I stopped and went to my mom. It's like, you said you lived in the same neighborhood as a guy who worked on it. And she's like, yeah, Bruce Smith. He was like the producer or director. I'm like, you live two houses down from the guy who created Proud Family?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. It is the same art style, isn't it?
Yeah. My mom grew up literally two houses down from the guy who created Proud Family and directed Bebe's Kids. I knew she had known somebody who worked on the film, but, you know, she only ever talks about the people from her neighborhood with, you know, her family and stuff, or whenever she's in town, you know, when she drives up, and they're like, hey, Kathy, how is it going? You know what I mean? You know how older black women are, right?
Yeah, yeah,
they see
right.
Someone they haven't seen in a while, and, you know, they start gossiping. So I never really paid attention. So I'm like, damn, tell me about that. No, not really. So now I gotta watch Bebe's Kids again and go, I can't believe my mom knew the guy who directed this shit. This is awesome. That's how black my white mom is.
Oh, man.
Oh, and big recommendation for the film, documentary Three Identical Strangers. If you can get out to see it, go see it. That shit is crazy. Starts out all, like, feel good, happy, and then it will slowly choke you to death.
Oh, wow.
About three identical triplets who were separated at birth. Yeah, pretty brutal. All right, that's nine non-wrestling stuff to talk about. It's time to, I guess, talk about wrestling. Unless you want to add something before we start talking about wrestling.
Fuck Donald Trump.
Who?
Exactly.
They rebuilt his fucking star on the Walk of Fame for like a third or fourth time.
Yo, they actually interviewed the guy who destroyed it. And,
whoa.
Like, and the guy was like, yeah, you guys might as well just take the whole thing out of there. Like, it's just going to get worse from here.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck that guy. All right, so
yeah,
we are in the G1 Climax. I got just two more sets of shows. The shows I'm going to talk about right now, and then next week we will be talking about the finals, or something like the finals. We'll be talking about the two shows before the finals, and whatever is actually listed for that show where the finals are happening. My feelings right now are a bit mixed. I don't think this is a better G1 Climax than the last few. There have been some great-ass matches, but there's been a lot of, like, how the fuck is this happening? And kind of want to see some of the big stars lose more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not quite happening.
Huh.
Before I get to that, let's get into some of Meltzer's last set of ratings, just in case anyone's curious. Because, let's see, he gave Michael Elgin, I think, currently remains at doing 4-star matches. He's been probably the most consistent of the A block.
I heard he's working. I heard he's working injured or some shit like that.
He might be. As shitty person as Elgin is, he's the guy I'd say has had the most consistent matches on A block. None of them have been bad. Most of them have been good. There's been some guys better matches. I'll go through some of his recent ones, but I'm really just looking at Meltzer's ratings right now. Because Hiroki Goto got his second 5-star match, Tomohiro Ishii. So, Goto continuing to have a good year. Let's see. Zack and Sonata, most of the matches here have been like 4 or 3 stars. You know, once if you care, the next set of ratings will be out by the time this goes up, so we'll see if he gives anything else 5 stars, if you care about that. But let's talk about what we do know. July 26th, we had Goto over Toru Yano, quick match, Naito over Tama Tonga, which was pretty good, even with all the interference stuff. L.I.J. came out to help Naito during it, and Naito pulled out the victory. Ishii lost to Zack Sabre Jr. That was a very good match. Juice Robinson lost to Kenny Omega. I'm starting to think Kenny Omega isn't going to lose until maybe the last match on the show. This was a good match, but it was kind of a weird crowd response. I guess maybe because I don't know if it came after how good Ishii Sabre Jr. was, or I don't know. The main event was Sonata defeating Kota Ibushi. This was a very good match, too. Next day, we had Evil defeated Hangman Page. It was a good match. Bad Luck Fale beat Jay White with the help of the Firing Squad. Michael Elgin and Minoru Suzuki had a pretty damn good match. Tanahashi versus Makabe had an okay match. Okada defeated Yoshihashi, and he even pulled out some of his... I mean, I didn't see Okada Yoshihashi's first match, which is, I guess, when Yoshihashi came back from excursion and Okada came back from excursion. Yeah. It's apparently not a good match. It was Okada's big match before he went on to win to beat Tanahashi the first time for the title. So he actually did the whack-ass Rainmaker and the whack-ass air raid crash in the match. It's sort of a throwback.
Yeah, people have been a little upset with him because I think he's used it a few times already in this G1. Like, the original Rainmaker?
This is the only time I've seen him do it, unless I missed it. But
yeah, I think,
this
he,
one,
I think he did it, like, at least twice.
Well, this was still a really good match. Yoshihashi, back to form. He started really good and then kind of was boring for a few matches, but then got back to being in some good matches. It helps that he wrestled Elgin, Okada, and then Tanahashi. So that was a string of three matches. I'll get to that in a moment. Next night, we had Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tama Tonga. I think this match was thrown out by DQ, so Zack Sabre Jr. won. Robinson actually got on the board with his first win against Toru Yano. Hirooki Goto and Naito had a disappointing match. Ishii versus Kota Ibushi had a very good match. Some people, however, calling it the best match of the tournament. I don't quite agree because I'm not putting it on my best matches list, but it for sure, well, I actually like the main event, Kenny Omega, Sonata more, but yeah, so but the top two matches were really, really liked. Okay, here we go. Makabe and Fale had a whatever match. Jay White, Hangman Page had an okay match with Hangman Page being mathematically eliminated. Tanahashi, before that, Evil and Suzuki, I thought had a good match. Some people didn't like it. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Yoshihashi. Tanahashi actually won with a version of a crate, something similar in that Rob Van Dam used to use, where he would wrap the guy up, but he would have the opponent's leg scissored while he has him wrapped up into a pinning combination. It was actually kind of a surprise victory, but it was pretty good. Then they had some sort of talking thing, and the post-match, something about Tanahashi's been acting kind of the same way he is about Hangman Page, saying that he can fix Yoshihashi, make him better, some evil reverse flash shit, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then Elgin Okada had the best match of the night. All right, so I am only partway through today's show, because I was tired, so I wanted to go to fucking sleep. But I did watch Ishii, Tama Tonga. Tama Tonga actually won. Robinson beat Sonata. Tetsuya Naito defeated Toru Yano. I'm going to take a random guess and say Kota Ibushi beat Goto and Kenny Omega beat Zack Sabre Jr. So we'll see. And then, of course, there's the show tomorrow. Okada, Suzuki, Tanahashi, Evil, Elgin Fale, Makabe Page, White, Hashi. That will be out the same day as this show goes up. So, all right, now let's get to the last set of shows, which is... I believe it's the... Yeah, it's the 4th, 5th, 8th, and... Yeah, the 4th, 5th, and 8th, because the 10th will be Friday. All right, So here we go. All right, we got Toru Yano versus Sanada. I have no clue about this one. I think Toru Yano has been mathematically eliminated as well. So I don't know if he will pick up the victory on Sanada or not. I'm just going to go say Sanada. What do you think?
Yeah, go Sanada.
Alright, Hiroki Goto versus Tama Tonga. I actually have Goto. I don't think he's won a match in a while. Well, I think he's only won two matches, and he's the never open weight champion. And Tama Tonga's already beaten the U.S. champion, so I'm going to go with Goto here.
Yeah, let's go with Goto.
Alright, Juice Robinson versus Zack Sabre Jr. Originally I had ZSJ, but with Juice Robinson starting to score wins, I'm going to go with the Juice.
I still got ZSJ.
Alright, ZSJ. Next up, Bushi versus Naito. I actually have a Bushi to win this. Kind of thinking Naito now. I don't know.
I'm going to go with Naito.
Yeah. Alright. And then we got Kenny Omega versus Ishii. I'm going to still give it to Ishii. Fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah, let's go with Ishii.
Alright. On the 5th, we have Yoshihashi versus Fale. I have Fale here. Actually, I'm going to give it to Yoshihashi just to, who knows with all the DQ shit going on. Alright. Hangman Page versus Minoru Suzuki. I'll go Suzuki.
Yeah, let's go with Suzuki.
Togi Makabe versus Jay White. I got Jay White.
Yeah, Jay White.
Alright, Elgin versus Tanahashi. Originally I had Tanahashi, but since he scored so many weapons and I think Elgin's only got two, I'm switching my choice to Elgin.
Yeah, let me go with Elgin.
Alright, Okada versus Evil. I have Okada.
I'll go with Evil.
Alright. I really want Evil to win, but I don't know. Alright, and then the 8th, the show before the last three shows, we have Juice Robinson versus Tomohiro Ishii. I'm going with the Juice.
Yeah, let's go with Juice.
Alright. I got Hiroki Goto over Zack Sabre Jr. Do you got Goto or Zack Sabre Jr.?
ZSJ.
ZSJ. Alright. Next up, Tama Tonga, Kota Ibushi. I actually have Tama Tonga going over. I don't know how this is going to work with all the interferences,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, Tama Tonga.
Alright. Toru Yano versus Kenny Omega. I got Kenny Omega winning.
Yeah, I got Kenny.
Alright, we got Naito versus Sanada. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go with Sanada.
Let me go with Naito.
Alright. And then that's it until the last weekend of, until the next show where we will be doing the final A block, the final B block, and the finals, which so far, I know that, those shows will also include some, I think Rey Mysterio will be at the finals wrestling in a singles match, and they've added some interesting tag matches to, August 10th and August 11th, because the Young Bucks will be there. And, yep, that's it. I don't really have any wrestling shows for the weekend because I can never navigate. Powerbomb TV doesn't have anything. I missed the AIW show last week. I don't know if there's a CZW show or a GCW show because, quite frankly, I have such a hard time following all you motherfuckers on Twitter who sparse out random announcements here and there. I don't know. Well, I guess I could take a quick look. CZW. I know what's it called's been randomly booking a bunch of Game Changer wrestling shows. CZW. Nope. No for CZW and Game Changer Wrestling. GCW. Which actually reminds me, I do have some news of some sort later on if I really care about it. Alright, so whatever the hell NGIA is, that's their that's the death match stuff. All right.
Yeah.
So I guess we don't have a show from them until August 17th, the Friday before SummerSlam. And then NGI is in September. Actually, there's a lot of stuff in September. You have the NGI tournament. You have, was it Battle of Los Angeles? And you have King of Trios. Lots of tournaments happening that week.
Oh, yeah.
I think Revolution Pro has their British junior heavyweight thing happening at the same time. I don't... Revolution... Where are you? Oh, interesting enough, speaking about British wrestlers, my aunt, who has Down syndrome, I went to her house to set up a new TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
She actually had a poster of Jimmy fucking Havoc.
Nice.
I know she's never seen a fucking Jimmy Havoc match in her life because she doesn't watch any wrestling. She just watches whatever's on TV. I'm like, what the fuck should get this? I just assumed she got it out of a magazine and just liked it because he was giving him the middle fingers and he was covered in blood. But I was, like, surprised because I was trying to figure out, put the TV together. I look, I'm like, what the fuck is Jimmy Havoc giving me the fingers? But, yeah. Oh, and he's making his ROH debut, I think, in September, too. Because they're doing it. Yeah, they're doing a tournament. ROH and Rev Pro, or ROH is doing a tournament in the UK, I think, in September as well. Yeah. Alright, so nothing important happening this weekend, from the looks of it. So do you actually want to talk about WWE?
Let me go over American Rana first. So American Rana was this past Sunday? Yeah, Sunday. Of course, because I was watching it. First American Rana on Powerbomb TV for $9.99. So that was interesting. And also to note, Powerbomb TV has now included Chikara within its ranks. So that's a big one right there.
I wonder if they're going to do the Chikara live stuff at the same time as Chikara's doing their own live stuff.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be like tape delay? Because Chikara has their own streaming service too.
Yeah.
Which I think is $7.99. But
I was thinking,
I imagine they have a much deeper archives than Powerbomb TV does.
Yeah. I was thinking, speaking of streaming services, I was thinking of diving into Club WWN. I was thinking about that. I might just do that. Because the next Evolve shows really intrigue me, and I've been like slacking on my Evolve stuff to watch. So,
and if you get Club WWN, you get to you'll also get Shine.
Yeah, Shine and Full Impact and what else? Those three. Just those three.
Unless it's like WrestleMania weekend, you might be able to get... I don't know if they would include the stuff they air during WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah. Okay, besides American Rana 18 went down, first match for the night was Team Pazuzu versus Team Women's Wrestling Revolution, which consisted of Kimberly, Skylar, Jordan Grace, and Mia Yim. It was a pretty dope 8-person tag. Team Pazuzu ended up winning that one. After that, AR Fox faced Anthony Green after Anthony Green issued an open challenge, and AR Fox ended up defeating him. Josh Briggs faced Brody King, which was a pretty good big man match. And Josh Briggs later got on the mic and declared that he would either keep his win streak. He'll definitely keep his win streak, but if he doesn't, he's either going to be signed or die. Some shit like that. I guess. I don't know. Trent ended up beating Jonathan Gresham after Stokely Hathaway interfered in the match. But Trent ended up betraying Stokely Hathaway. And so basically, Trent was only part of the Dream Team for like a quick second.
The Dream Team.
Yeah.
The only Dream Team I believe in is that song from the 80s. It's a rap song. They were the Dream Team. forget what the fuck it was.
I don't know. Well,
then there's also the basketball team from the 92 Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Of course. After that, Hate Club, consisting of Matt Tremont and Nick Gage, defeated Matt Riddle and Filthy Tom Lawler, which was definitely interesting. You got the deathmatch guys versus the MMA guys, so I think I thought that was funny. Mentioned Chikara earlier. It was a Chikara Atomicos match, consisting of Solo Darling, Fire Ant, Boomer Hatfield, and Mike Quackenbush, facing The Whisper, Travis Huckabee, Block, and Volgar. And the Technico team of Solo Darling, Fire Ant, Hatfield, and Quackenbush defeated them.
There was a rap group called the LA Dream Team that was, all right, Active 85-89, that's what I'm thinking, all right.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like one of those songs I would hear on throwback radio here in Cali, yeah. Especially because we didn't have them 80s rappers that people know back then. What the fuck is the real Richie Rich? All right.
What?
Whatever. Apparently there was a rapper, actually originally from New York, who was part of the LA Dream Team called The Real Richie Rich. His name was Richard Anthony.
Oh.
I guess he went on to be a producer of some sort for various groups. He was originally from Harlem. He could play drums, keyboard, stuff. Yeah. Okay. Oh, he worked with Tina Marie, so that's someone who's good.
All right. Okay, next on the docket, Tracy Williams successfully defended his Powerbomb TV Independent Wrestling Championship, defeating Wheeler Yuta. The Beaver Boys ended up squeaking away with a victory against Team Tremendous, the Gentlemen's Club, and Massage Force, formerly known as Massage Envy. After that, Dan Barry once again turned on Bill Carr. So, I guess, and then Dan Barry, mind you, he is retiring after this year, so I wouldn't be surprised if the last Beyond Wrestling show is probably going to end up being him versus Bill Carr to close out his career, I guess. Should be interesting. Besides that, Brian Cage defeated PCO in a dope match, and my match of the night, of course, was the No Ropes Barbed Wire match between David Starr and Joey Janela, which David Starr defeated Joey with a arm trap pile driver on cinder blocks.
Obviously. If you're going to end a match, you might as well use cinder blocks.
Yeah.
And a barbed wire rope match.
That match was crazy. Penelope Ford got involved, and of course she went through a barbed wire plyboard. You had them Irish whipping each other into the barbed wire and having the barbed wire actually latch onto their skin and just folding it up, and it was just pretty nasty. But yeah. And then Tremont and Nick Gage were actually on commentary, and they were just praising David and Joey so much, especially Joey. And Joey, mind you, this is supposed to be his last death match. So, ended it bang.
It's not his last street fight.
Yeah. But yeah, this There's is the second
hardcore shit, right?
Yeah, but this is the second Joey David match that's part of my favorites for the year. My first one happened to be the first match of the year. Technically on the East Coast, because on the West Coast, technically it was still the 31st of December, but it counts because East Coast, we're here first. Anyway, so that match in Beyond Wrestling, and then this one in Beyond Wrestling is two favorites of mine from those two. So really cool. So if you haven't checked out that American Rana 18, definitely do that. It's available on Powerbomb TV, of course, $10. And that's it. Oh yeah, and then speaking of Joey Janela, if I want to break some news stuff, I guess
we were they were speculating for a while about his pay-per-view. Well, supposed pay-per-view, because like he had the event called Joey Janela Lost in New York, and people were like wondering, is it going to be on iPay-per-view? It's going to be on iPay-per-view. It's going to be on iPay-per-view. So eventually, GCW announced that there will be an iPay-per-view for it. So, but we have to stay tuned on where it's going to stream, I guess, and how it, I guess, so. Really cool. So I was definitely like worried because like I definitely wanted to see that event because like all the matches on that card look good, every single one of them, you know. So yeah. I have to see that shit.
I'm looking forward to it. It'll probably be one of Matt Riddle's last indie show matches.
Allegedly. Yeah. Yeah, since we want to talk about that, yeah, Matt Riddle, rumored to possibly have signed to the WWE already. So I don't know. Wonder if WWE's going to keep that same energy with the drug policy. we'll see. I don't know.
I picked up the tickets for the next New Japan show out here, too, so...
Oh, really?
I was able to get them right up because I got off at the job right when it came on, but yeah, I was able to get the ticket, so good on me, I guess.
Yo, how you guys always the New Japan stuff. We don't have shit on the East Coast yet. Like, well,
honestly think it's probably because they view your coast as Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we don't want to get in Ring of Honor space unless we're doing a joint show.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, the closest they're gonna get is the G1 Supercard.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we can talk about Raw and stuff.
I mean, if you really don't want to, we don't have to.
Yeah, I don't even remember what happened on that bitch.
Well, I heard that they're going to do the first ever once-in-a-lifetime dream match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but they also ended up having Brock Lesnar beat up Kurt Angle and Paul Heyman. Because all through the night, they were trying to get him to come out. He finally comes out, but that's only after... Kurt Angle insults him, and Paul Heyman gets really perturbed about him not being a good champion. So, yeah. So that's about it, really. There wasn't anything much special with Raw. SmackDown, on the other hand.
The A-Show, now that it's worth $1 billion.
Yeah, but apparently they both did pretty well in the ratings this week. Like, I think they said Raw took the top spot on that slot for the first time in a year. And SmackDown has had its best ratings in a month or so. So, I guess they're...
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. But yeah, SmackDown was cool.
It's on the pop, it'll just make WWE think they're doing something right, which is bad.
Yeah, of course. But SmackDown was cool. The first... thing that was there was Carmella and Becky were in the ring. Carmella just like... okay, like, as much as people hate her in-ring work, her the way that she portrays her character is really interesting.
I like the Carmella character.
Yeah.
I just think she's not a good wrestler.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Alexa Bliss is a great character and a subpar wrestler who only works in certain types of matches.
Right.
Yeah.
So Carmella, she had this really great sob story about how she was an idiot and like nobody believed in her and yada 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 and whatever. And then eventually it turned into her trying to attack Becky Lynch from behind, which was really cool. Besides that, the Usos faced the Bar. for the SmackDown SummerSlam Tag Team Tournament. And the Bar actually won the match, so the Usos are out, surprisingly. So it will be the Bar versus New Day for the Nord Contendership next week. And after that, Joe was in the ring, talk shit about AJ, and he was just basically disparaging how, like, AJ talks about his wife and kids, but he's really a bad father because he's not there for them and all this other shit. It was really fucked up. And then another segment was freaking Jeff Hardy coming out and trying to get at Randy Orton. Orton comes out only for Shinsuke to attack Jeff Hardy. Randy and Shinsuke have a staring match for a little bit until Randy clears the way for Shinsuke to hit him with a Kinshasa. Shinsuke leaves, but then Randy's like, fuck it, I'm just gonna keep beating the shit out of Jeff. So he hits him with that draping DDT on the outside and basically just completely destroys him. I think he did the whole earlobe thing again, because he's been really... Yo, like, if he rips that shit, I would freak out. I would flip the fuck out. Because have you seen that shit?
No, I haven't seen much of any of this stuff.
No, because I think twice already, like, freaking... Like, he would beat the shit out of Jeff Hardy, then put his finger through his, like, earlobe hole and, like, start pulling on that shit. Like, he's about to rip the motherfucker off. Like, it's really sick. Oh, man, that shit was annoying. But, yeah, after that, Lana faced Zelina Vega in the OK match until Cien Andrade Almas got involved. Distracted Lana for a little bit. Rusev was not present for it because he's been annoyed by both with Lana and Aiden English, but Aiden English wanted to redeem himself and come out to go save her from Andrade's distraction. Only problem was he created an even bigger distraction that had Lana get take the loss. So after that, they argued, and in the back, Lana is upset with Rusev for him not having her back. So it's a whole thing of everybody pissed off at each other.
Hopefully they all come back together, because Rusev Day is my favorite day of the week.
Yeah.
So Lana looked pretty decent in her match then?
Yeah, she looks decent. She looks decent. She still needs work, though.
She hasn't had that much in-ring time, yeah, so the fact that she's not actively embarrassing herself is quite a step.
Yeah. Yeah. After that, they had the Daniel Bryan segment with The Miz, and, of course, Daniel Bryan came out, talked about WWE Evolution again, and then addressed the fake baby toss, and he had an exchange with The Miz, who was on location with some bodyguards around him, and yada, yada, yada. They just talked back and forth. I think the most biting thing within that whole segment was how Daniel Bryan talked about how The Miz will never be The Rock, as in be an A-list superstar in movies and all that shit like that. He's like, hell, you're not even going to be John Cena. So I was like, damn.
Yeah, I saw gifs of the back and forth. This really is WWE's real A-list feud right yes. here, because you have such a great talker and heel and antagonist in The Miz, and then you have such an excellent wrestler and underrated talker in Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So, you know, The Miz... his promos make Daniel Bryan's promos better, and Miz is a very good wrestler, and we know Daniel Bryan's a great wrestler. When they were wrestling each other, it always felt like Daniel Bryan brought out a new side of The Miz.
Yeah.
So I look forward to WWE screwing this up and then Daniel Bryan leaving.
Like they're trying to do this for SummerSlam. We'll see how it goes. I hope it's not some like screw job shit and they actually go all out for it, especially with Bryan possibly dipping. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope that this is Bryan's last match that you know everybody involved will want it to be a big deal and not some overproduced nonsense.
Yes.
And we will find out in 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of 2 to 3 weeks, the winner of the next match would enter into Slam as part of the women's SmackDown Women's Championship. So Charlotte Flair returned, and she basically demanded her spot. And she ended up getting granted a match against Carmella. If she beat Carmella, then she'd be inserted into the championship match. Becky Lynch would have an uphill battle to try to regain some respect by having to try to defeat both of them. And yeah, so Charlotte Flair ended up defeating Carmella, and now the SmackDown Women's Championship match is a triple threat. A lot of people are upset about this. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little like annoyed by it myself.
I have mixed feelings because I would love it if it was Becky and Carmella one-on-one.
Yes.
But I worry that they're understanding that Carmella is not that good in the ring, so they felt that they had to have a third person to make up for the quality of the match.
That makes sense. But yeah, I think the outcome is what hinges upon this for me.
Yes.
That's what it is for me.
Charlotte doesn't need the title, neither does Alexa Bliss, which I've been complaining about, and it is getting frustrated how quickly they getting pushed back into the title picture.
Yeah.
I really do think it's Becky's time. She didn't get a good run with the title in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said Charlotte's the Scarlett Johansson of WWE. I thought that was funny as shit.
It kind of is, but I like her a lot better than Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. After that, so was the end of SmackDown. But after that, there was 205 Live. I didn't really focus too much on what was going on. Kalisto ended up facing Tony Nese, and defeated him. And Buddy Murphy tried to come out and fight him, but got saved by Lince Dorado, who happens to be wearing a small cast now because he ruptured a thumb ligament. After that, there was Leo Rush versus local jobber number one. And, of course, it was a similar fashion to his other squashes. He dodges, does some quick strikes, all that, and hits the frog splash. 1, 2, 3. After that, Akira Tozawa came out and intimidated Leo and yada yada. After that, they also had the contract signing between Cedric and Drew Gulak. They announced that match would be part of SummerSlam pre-show. I say pre-show because I know it's going to end up on the pre-show. Because even though they haven't said it was on the pre-show, we know that for fucking fact. Because they always screwed the cruiserweights. But, Drew Gulak talked about how Cedric is technically the Brock Lesnar of 205 Live for the fact that he hasn't really done much on the shows as of late. He hasn't had any matches. He kind of skirts by. There hasn't been, I think the last match he had was, I want to say 3-4 weeks ago against Hideo Itami.
Mm.
For the title. I think it was a month ago. Might have been, I don't know. He's been used relatively sparsely, if anyone has really noticed.
Well, he might be getting sparsely a little bit more after today.
Oh, yeah. So, but he ended up defeating Brian Kendrick, but then got laid out by Jack Gallagher after that. So that ended 205 Live, and of course we talk about him used sparsely. Yeah, so of course people dug up some old tweets from him. Well, I think it was one tweet. I think it was one rape tweet, apparently. One rape joke tweet or some shit like that. It's from, like, 2012. And I think it stemmed... I think it stemmed from him... him coming at, like, Neville, I guess. Because I guess Neville has some shit. So I guess they decided to dig in through his Twitter to get back at him and found something that they didn't like. So that's how it spread.
What did he say about Neville to piss off his fans?
He called him a quitter. That was basically it. That was it. That's all he said. That's all he said, and that's what flipped people out. So he called him a quitter, and it ended up turning into that. But then, but they also got Ty Dillinger too. Apparently, like they dug up an old rape joke beat from him from back in 2011.
So they had to go even further.
Yeah. So he had to, and those guys had to apologize for that shit. But luckily, it seems like it hasn't been like a big thing for them. So I think they should be all right after this. I don't think I'm too worried about that shit. It's whatever, man. I don't know. But that's all I will say about that shit, because I'm not trying to go any further.
Alright.
Yeah, so besides that, you got any news?
Well, I mean, we got like 4 different RIPs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we might as well get through that.
So,
first, let's get through the RIP Trevor Lee's dad.
Tracy Caddell, I believe. C-A-D-D-E-L. E-L, yeah. Tracy Caddell, who was mostly an indie wrestler, but actually worked with the Hardys for their Omega Pro promotion. That's why Trevor Lee was a buddy with the Hardys.
Yeah, apparently Matt was a founder of that promotion. Yeah, Matt Hardy said he actually helped found that promotion. So he was actually instrumental in that promotion being a thing, Omega being a thing. So
RIP to him. I hadn't even heard about him until I started against Generation Wrestling. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So yeah, that sucks. Also done fundraising funeral costs too. If you go online, check Trevor's site, you'll find out. But they were very close to finishing that fundraising. But RIP Tracy Caddell. I don't know how to pronounce it. But yeah, RIP. We also got Brickhouse Brown. Are you familiar with Brickhouse Brown?
No, I am not.
Let me look him up. Yeah, I vaguely remember him mostly by name. Alright, Brickhouse Brown. Let's go. He was only 57, so that sucks.
Huh.
Yeah, he was only 57. He was originally from Delaware. He was also known as the Black Prince, MC Slammer, and the Breakdancer. He was trained by Eddie Graham and Terry Funk.
Huh.
He was, first matches were in Southwest Championship Wrestling under Joe Blanchard in San Antonio, Texas. He worked for the National Wrestling Alliance in 83. He won the Southeastern Tag Team Championships with Norval Austin. From 87 to 97, he mostly worked in, he worked a lot in Memphis Championship Wrestling Association, AWA Southern Heavyweight Championship, defeating Jerry Lawler. So yeah, he wrestled a bit for AWA, big promotion. He's worked with guys like PG-13. He worked as enhancement talent on some WWE shows, one against Hunter Hearst Helmsley, one against Henry O. Goodwin. Worked for USWA. He was actually at the Juggalo Championship Wrestling in 2011, Internet Pay-Per-View Legends and Icons. So he lost in a five-way match to Austin Idol. Let's see, he, he died of, well, we don't really need to know what he died of. But, yep, that's Burkhead Brown, WCWA Texas Heavyweight Champion. All right, who else we got?
Oh, of course we got, damn.
Because I know there was Nikolai Volkov and there was one other guy.
Yeah, it was Nikolai Volkov and then Brian Christopher.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so Nikolai Volkov, of course, everybody knows him as the Big Bad Russian back in the 80s. He used to tag with the Iron Sheik. They say besides that, he was a really lovable guy, I think. And I believe he actually wasn't from the USSR, but he was actually from Yugoslavia, I believe.
Nikolai Volkov, here you go. Oh, come on, you had it up for a second. Or did I spell Nikolai?
One interesting thing, after he retired, he basically was a mainstay in Maryland for the most part. He, I think he worked certain like programs socially and stuff like that throughout Maryland. And he would make sporadic indie appearances and stuff like that. But a lot of people said that he was a really nice guy.
Apparently he was at one time... in the running for Ivan Drago and Rocky IV.
I heard that was Nikita Koloff, though.
Oh, was it Nikita Koloff?
I think that was Nikita Koloff.
All right, I began both guys mixed up.
Yeah, okay, so I think it was Nikita Koloff and freaking Kerry Von Erich.
Yeah, Kerry Von Erich for sure. All right, yeah. Volkov was actually grew up in Socialist Republic of Croatia, which is now part, which was then part of Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavia, yeah.
So he was a, so he was a immigrant. Yes. He immigrated to Canada. He received his initial training in Calgary from the legendary Stu Hart upon his arrival. Yep. Other media. He's a playable character in WWE SmackDown. Here comes the pain.
That's probably one of the best like video games that WWE ever made, because it was Here Comes the Pain, No Mercy, of course. The Day of Reckoning games, the first few SmackDown versus Raw games, maybe one of the other ones intermixed. But all the 2K shit is weak, though. Fuck that.
Yeah. I was just checking my Twitter thing. I don't know if I have some sort of automatic delete shit, because my stuff doesn't go past May.
Really?
Yeah, I... checked it on I checked in a browser and it won't go past May 17th.
Huh.
Whereas on my mobile, I don't think it goes past June.
You know what? I think that's been an issue for me, but for Tumblr, like, say if I like go into a certain tag of my own, right? Or try to, like, if I try to go to a certain tag of my own, which I know I have hundreds of posts, I wouldn't get to past like page 2. And it basically locks up after that.
Yeah, I was just curious how far the thing actually went. I mean, I don't think I have any, like, bad jokes in the past, but whatever, you know. I was just curious how far I went back. Alright, so Nikolai Volkov, RIP, you popped up with the Sheik every once in a while, and it was great. Guy got real heat, too. You know, he didn't have to try to be, edgy. I mean, then again, it was a different time, but still. Okay, and finally, we got Brian Christopher Lawler.
Yeah.
Wasn't Brian Lawler... He's what? Jerry Lawler's only son, isn't he?
Yeah, he's Jerry... I think he's Jerry Lawler's only son.
No, Jerry Lawler has had two sons.
Oh, he had two? So, shit, I didn't know that. Because you don't ever hear about the other one, I guess.
I guess he didn't want to become a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, no, his brother has worked as a wrestling referee, Kevin Christian. All right, I'm not familiar with him, but I guess his brother has worked as a referee. Well, obviously, we can talk a little bit more about Brian Christopher, because we kind of remember. I mean, I remember the Attitude Era. You remember the Attitude Era?
No.
No. But you remember him, Scotty Too Hotty, and Rikishi doing all the dancing, right?
Of course, yeah, Too Cool, of course.
Yeah. I mean, Too Cool, I mean, at the time, I admit to not being necessarily a fan of them, but, you know, they were always on, they were always doing their thing, and the crowd fucking loved them. And, I mean, I think a few years ago, Brian Christopher and Scotty Too Hotty had some tag matches on NXT that were pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, I was never necessarily a fan of Brian Christopher, but this is a very tragic. He had been having some serious problems over the last few years.
Yeah.
Because
he had gotten arrested, like, he had, it was based off a recent arrest, that's what ended up doing him in this time, but like, he had gotten arrested a month before that one as well. Yeah, with this one, of course, he died by hanging. Well, he hung himself, I believe, in, like, I guess the strength, I guess, I think they were able to take him down while he was still alive, but I think he was, I believe, on life support after that, and they ended up having to pull the plug.
Yeah, it's a sad story. So bad. I mean, and I have, you know, I feel bad for Lawler. I mean, I know I've been very hard on him over the last few years. Yeah. But,
I don't feel that... see, I don't know. I don't feel that hard or bad for him, because it always seemed like he didn't like his son. Like, in real... Even, like, I know, like, it was in his character, it was for him to be annoyed by him, but, it, like, outside of it, it always seemed like he just didn't like him. I don't know.
I'd have to go back and look. I mean, I kind of remember him, his annoyance with him in character, but I don't really... I mean, I didn't really know much about the relationship, but I imagine because of Lawler was and how hard it was for a lot of those wrestlers to actually be really around their children at the time.
Yeah.
So who knows how their relationship was. It says Ryan was the son... was a son from one of I think his first wife?
Yeah, most likely.
So his sons are from his first wife.
Yeah.
K something. All right.
But yeah, like,
yeah, it was not a good weekend for wrestling.
No. One thing that came out of this one was the comments from New Jack and who else was it? I believe Sabu. And basically both of them shit on Brian Christopher. Like, I think New Jack mentioned he had, like, wrestled him once or something like that, and, like, he disrespected him or something, and he said to go, and he said fuck him or whatever. And he continued to taunt and trash Jerry Lawler or whatever. I think talking about how Jerry Lawler likes kids, shit like that, which I won't dispute. Because he probably does, given how like how much he likes him young, whatever. Yeah. Sabu, on the other hand,
still the stuff about Brian Christopher was tasteless.
It was a little uncalled for. Yeah. And then Sabu was like disparaging him as well, and also basically congratulating himself for not dying or whatever. And it was really distasteful shit. It was ugly.
Yeah, it's. That's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, besides that, a lot of,
Oh, well, I do got a couple of little things.
Okay.
Apparently Big Japan's kind of being assholes to people who do GIFs on, Twitter. For
really?
Some reason. Yeah, cause...
Oh, that's why Stokely Hathaway and some people were, like, starting to, like, talk about the Great GIF War again or something like that.
Yeah, it started when one person who had been gifting some stuff actually, I guess, tweeted him and asked them to do a t-shirt for one of the young wrestlers, and their response was something like, stop doing gifs, really. And I guess they had deleted some stuff, but it seems like they're going back and forth. So the people who actually follow Big Japan started ripping into him, like, not just because, you know, they support gifs, but they're also like, Yeah, you're also not putting out your shit as quickly as you're supposed to with a fucking streaming service.
Yeah.
So, we'll see where this goes. And, finally, three more names were announced for the Mae Young Classic.
Actually, not three. There was, like, a whole bunch of them.
What's been three today?
Well, there was, there was, like, at least one, two, three, four, five. There was, seven or eight.
Yeah, in the last week. I'm talking about the three today because one of them is a very popular Japanese Joshi wrestler.
Yeah.
Lady Destroyer Hiroyo Matsumoto, who's an excellent wrestler. Mm-hmm. Had one of my favorite women's matches last year with Meiko Satomura. So she's in, as well as Ariel Monroe, who I have not seen, but also Vanessa Craven, who I have, who's pretty big and tall. She's okay. She's more,
standard big person.
Yeah, she's more of a standard big person. She, you know, I think if she had more competition about her size, maybe she would have gotten better. But, you know, when you're her size and you're wrestling a lot of smaller wrestlers who may not necessarily be that exceptional, you don't quite, grow as a wrestler. Oh, by the way, it says here, Elgin's working with a torn bicep. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was it. But who are the other women? I think I vaguely remember a few.
Okay, so Zia Brookside, Robbie Brookside's daughter. I think she's only been wrestling for like a few years, and then she's actually the youngest one in the tournament at 19 years old.
I had heard of her. I hadn't seen her. I didn't realize she was Robbie Brookside's daughter, though.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I heard she's really good. Priscilla Kelly, who I haven't seen her wrestle really, because most of what I've seen was her as Austin Theory's valet manager on Evolve, but I heard she's pretty decent too. She's fairly young as well. I think she's only been wrestling for 3 years, and she's like in her early 20s as well. And of course, another veteran, Madison Rain, of course, of TNA yep. Impact fame. She is part of it. I believe she's going by Ashley Rain in the Mae Young Classic this go. Amber Rain. Amber Rain in the Mae Young Classic. They also announced that Toni Storm would be returning to the Mae Young Classic. And of course, we mentioned her earlier. Meiko Satomura has officially been announced for the Mae Young Classic.
Yes, the final boss, as they said.
The final boss.
The way I see it, that means she shouldn't be in the tournament, that she should just be automatically set up in the semifinals.
Yeah.
I want Meiko to open the tournament up with wrestling one of the Jet, with Hiroyo Matsumoto, and just let those two just beat the shit out of each other. That should be an opening
That'll get
match.
People hyped enough for the set the tone. Yeah.
Yeah, especially because those two wrestle each other a bunch of times, so they know how to throw down.
Exactly.
But you know you're not going to get any. They got three Japanese two Japanese legends, and then one future Japanese legend going in. You know someone's going to have to lose.
Yes.
Or might as well just knock Hiroyo Matsumoto out to someone who's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, like this time, the tournament they're doing it in 2 days. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm?
I think
is
so.
That true?
And it's a week, and they're starting in like a week from Wednesday. So, yeah, in about a week, they're starting to get everything together. So basically, by the time they start taping, we'll know everything by next podcast. But who's
I thought
who's
they were going to do it live this time, too.
Are they? I didn't even hear about that. I thought it was supposed to be a taping again.
I'll look it up right now. Yeah. I thought it was weird they were doing it differently than last year. But, I mean, it might be better that way. I mean, I don't know. The last year's was an interesting way of doing it with the four shows.
I still enjoyed it. Yeah. I fucked with it.
Let's see, Mae Young Classic 2018. Let's see what you got here. Oh, okay, so maybe it is taping like that, because it's August 8th and 9th, but the finals are October 28th, so maybe they are going to end up taping it, doing it exactly like last time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, in more news, yeah, we mentioned Sabu earlier, how he was wilding out. Apparently, like, he started saying some weird N-word stuff. Like, when Lana had her, like, cell phone promo coming at Zelina Vega, she used her real voice, and she kind of talks with, like, some urban slang or whatever. So Sabu commented saying, like, why are you talking like an N-word and all this other stuff and blah, blah, blah. It was really, really fucking weird. So, like, I don't know what the hell is going on with him. I don't know. He needs to fix himself and
shut the fuck up.
Yeah. There's been reports that Tommy Dreamer was actually offered $1 million to shut down House of Hardcore.
Why?
Because, okay, so House of Hardcore, the production value of that is actually pretty decent. Not only that, they have a deal on Twitch. Not only that, I think Tommy Dreamer has gotten more connections that's helped him out. Right now, I just saw a tweet recently that he, freaking Wizard World or whatever is like having a like giveaway stuff with him involved and shit like that. So like, he's really hustling, man. So it makes makes sense. House of Hardcore seems like it's becoming a big thing, even though I haven't seen much of anything from them, but it's definitely feels like a threat. WWE feels like, I think if WWE's trying to stamp out things any way they can right now. That's why they're signing so many fucking people, you know?
This, which is not a good thing for them to do. I mean, yeah. Because unless you're actually on TV, you're not going to be making as much money if you know, a guy who on the indie scene who's working consistently is making more money than a WWE wrestler who's not on television in any capacity.
Them UK folks ain't making that much more than I am.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, the stuff they can do outside of WWE is limited now.
Yeah.
So unless they're not
paid that much for that shit either.
Yeah, so unless there's someone like, you know, Pete Dunne and Mustache Mountain, and maybe like Tony Storm and a couple other ones, they're not going to be making that good money, especially because apparently the first couple episodes of the World of Sports actually did pretty well for ITV.
Yeah, I heard about that. I believe Rampage Brown is the new champion there.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, New Japan doesn't seem to care because Will Ospreay did that.
Yeah.
So it's this is not a good sign, and trying to stamp out these companies sounds like a fucking idiotic thing. I mean, Tommy Dreamer is the kind of guy who probably turned down $1 million, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure if they had done this to AIW, that guy would have taken the money and ran.
Oh man, yeah.
I mean, he was trying to sell the company to Ron Funches that fucking lost Joey Janela's spring break a little while ago.
You know what? Ron Funches actually kind of annoys me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like how he tweets. He comes off really, really arrogant to me, especially since he's lost weight. And he always retweets these fucking like billionaire mentality things, like these fake motivational bullshit. And he talks like he's like some type of like authority in certain things. It's really annoying to me. I thought he was cool, but now he's kind of a dickhead to me.
He lost that weight trying to get some money, and he kind of forgot about everybody.
Exactly.
On the way up.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah. Not
he's not
really.
That. He's not little real. To be honest, I don't know. Did you see the Bruce Willis roast?
Oh, you talking about Lil Rel?
Yeah, Lil Rel. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I have not seen the Bruce Willis roast yet.
It was all right. I skipped the Dennis Ross stuff because I heard his stuff was really, really bad. But it was like Lil Rel was like, why the fuck am I here? Where's Argyle? She's got Argyle on it. That nigga needs a job. You know, that was pretty much what he was saying. But Edward Norton stuff was actually really good. But
yeah, I heard he took some pot shot at Marvel or some shit.
Well, he was about working on the Hulk. It's like, all I wanted was a script that was at least as kind of as close to good as a Dark Knight film as possible. I think he was really talking about the most scripts about that around that time.
Yeah.
I saw people were like, he dissed the entire Marvel. No, he didn't. He dissed the script for the Hulk in the movies that were around the Hulk. Yeah. Let's be honest. Those, other than Iron Man, the first like five or six movies are aimed for, are go from okay to just good.
Yeah.
It's not like Thor was a great movie. Let's calm down. Post Avengers is when we got started getting the real good shit.
Yes.
All right. Calm the fuck down, but you know people like to exaggerate shit. But there was some pretty good stuff about it. I like that they had Cybill Shepherd on with what's her name, Martha Stewart, because Cybill Shepherd played Martha Stewart in some movies.
Oh really?
Yeah. So that's what Martha Stewart said. I heard they were making a movie. I was concerned, but then they said Cybill Shepherd was in it. So I said, oh good, no one's gonna see it.
Oh fuck.
So yeah. I thought that was kind of cool. Of all of them, she's probably the only one who's ever actually been in jail.
Oh, yeah.
Cybill Shepherd. I want to tie this to wrestling. But if some wrestler has been on Martha Stewart's show before.
I don't think so.
Snoop Dogg has. He did some wrestling. He's related to Sasha Banks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We can always tie that back in. Oh, and then to tie it back into more Hollywood shit, Ronda Rousey has been talking, mapping her gums, apparently, and now she claims that she wants to be a part of Kill Bill 3, if that ever fucking happens. That ain't happening. But she claims that she wants a BB in it.
No. So, what is this, a sci-fi fucking film? It hasn't been that long, Rhonda.
Yeah, it really hasn't. Yeah, because, like, what BB would be in her, like, what, like, 20s?
Let me look up when the Kill Bill... I guess Kill Bill... Should I do Volume 2 or just Kill Bill in general?
Volume 2.
Alright, we'll do it from there. Kill Bill Volume 2. Alright, so... Wikipedia. I mean, I thought originally his idea was not even to do Kill Bill 2, but to do Kill the Bride with the daughter of Vivica A. Fox coming back.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I originally heard.
Which he would still need fucking Uma Thurman to do that shit.
Yeah.
So that's not...
You think Uma Thurman would never work with Quentin again?
Seeing as she's basically got really fucking hurt doing the crash and scene and how the company had sort of jerked her around before she could get that the video of the accident.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It didn't seem like she had any real bad blood, but she just wanted to put that shit out there. That's the way I saw it.
It's kind of hard to say. All right, Perla Hanley Jardine, you were born in 97, so Kill Bill Volume 2 came out in 2004. Yeah, so 14 plus 97. Shit. She's not old. She's too old.
Yeah, she's way too old. That's what I'm saying. She'd be in her fucking 20s. Like, if they would work it, she'd be in her 20s. Like, the character has
literally
to be in her
20s. She's 21. Also, is she actually Brazilian? Oh, she was in that Steve Jobs movie. Oh, and she's actually Brazilian. So the actress who played her is Brazilian-American. That's interesting. Huh. Her father is a Venezuelan-born director. Okay, so how are you a Brazil? I guess if you're born in Brazil, you're technically Brazilian, but she's really Venezuelan and American. Huh. She's all kinds of things. I completely relate to this girl as a black, as a mixed race dude born in Spain. It doesn't seem like she's doing much acting. She was in the third Spider-Man movie, apparently. She's only done a handful of movies every year. She played the daughter of Steve Jobs in that one, and she was in a film called Midnighters a couple years ago, which I'm not at all familiar with. It's an IFC horror film. Okay. Yeah, Rhonda, calm the fuck down. Just beat up Alexa Bliss. That's all. You know, take the title. Have a match with Nia Jax. That's really what needs to happen.
What else happened? Hideo Itami. You heard, that he's actually supposed to face, Mara Fuji one time.
Yep, the Mara Fuji, 20th anniversary show.
Yeah. They call it the final bout. So, next month, it's going down in Noah.
It's the final bout before Hideo Itami decides WWE ain't worth that shit.
Yeah.
And then he comes back to Japan, and they... And I don't know, either goes to Noah or New Japan's like, you know what, fuck it. Come over here. We need as many people recognizable as possible.
Yeah. I guess so. And then, in other international news, you heard that story out of Mexico?
What did Mexico do now?
Oh, man. There was some type of, like, independent promotion that had a wrestler by the name of Black Skeller. I guess during the match, he was supposed to, like... I don't know if he was supposed to, like, attack the valet or whatever, but, like, you see the video of him, like, slapping her and dragging her by her hair, and it's really fucking gruesome. It looks like some, like, classic domestic violence type shit. It's really fucked up. Like, all types of shit, and he just doesn't look like he's in any type of right mindset for anything, and he's just, like, beating the shit out of this girl. And the next thing you know, he goes off screen, and comes back, and then you see him swinging a chair. He swings it, hits her in the back of the head, she falls over, and she's lying down for a little bit, and then next thing you know, her body starts fucking, like, having a seizure and shit. And, like, then you start seeing people crowding around her to see, to try to get her body stable, and then you get to see a few wrestlers that start attacking him and stuff after he finally looks concerned about what the fuck happened he just did, and it just looked like a whole fucking mess. There was a female wrestler by the name of Zafiro who is raising money for her. Yeah, basically fundraising for her medical bills and, like, also, trying to contact, like, authorities and frickin' the fighting, commission or whatever to, deal with this Black Skeller situation, but it's really fucking ugly, dude. That shit was horrific.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up some details, for,
yeah, you can find it on, Pro Wrestling Sheet.
Well, I'm looking for the Lucha response to it. Apparently, Pagano threw his support behind Black Skeller for some reason.
What?
Pagano's post didn't go over well, and he spent subsequent Facebook posts defending himself. Dumbass. I think the viewpoint here is putting an untrained person in a mask at ringside is disrespectful to Lucha Libre. I think that if people not properly trained and heard in the wrestling matches worked as an effective deterrent to stop those, I wouldn't have to watch a Pagano match tomorrow. Okay, so he took Pagano's statement about it and kind of turned it into, well, I wouldn't want to watch a Pagano match anyway. Alright, let me see what Lucha World has to say about this. I haven't been to Lucha World in a fucking while. I actually haven't been to Lucha Blog in a while, too. That's where I read that one. But I'm trying to remember, Pagano is one of the clowns? I don't remember which fucking one that Pagano is.
He's one of the clowns. It looks like he wrestled for Impact for a little bit, too.
Yeah, okay. Is this the same one? Yeah. So Lucha World has it. The luchador La Enigmacita was hit. Okay, that's the woman's name. She was La Enigmacita. Enigmacita. Alright, it happened during the tag match. She got knocked out. Was very, local luchadora said Black Skeller was very unprofessional what he did, and she offered to help the family, just like you said.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's anything else. The family's worried that they don't want anyone to help because they're worried someone might use that as a way to screw over the people being charitable, which makes sense. Sometimes people set up fake charities and shit.
Yeah.
Let's see, former Lucha, who is now the Juarez Lucha Libre commissioner, said they were suspending and the show going over for allowing to be part of Shadow Luchador when she was listed on. Uh-huh. So not much other detail other than Pagano being a fucking bitch. Alright, so, yeah, that is not good. Speaking of bullshit, I just remembered. Apparently, Marcus Crane was harassing some guy's family on Twitter who had been critical of Schlack.
Oh, the Nazi?
Yeah, the Nazi. Because, you know, Schlack apparently is.
Yeah, fuck him. Like, I'm tired of, like, Marcus Crane, Schlack, that Valentine dude, all these. See, that's the only thing I don't like about GCW. They have a whole bunch of these shithead deathmatch guys. Like, that they're like,
yeah,
like straight up pieces of shit. Like I like, like, okay, Nick Gage committed one crime, but it was a robbery in a bank. But these guys are just straight up pieces of shit, like, overall.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Gage has worked hard to better himself. And he goes out there and he does, you know, he gives the fans what they want.
Yeah.
And he seems like a generally cool guy. Because you see pictures of him taking him pictures with all the fans and stuff. But he seems like, okay, you know, he's hanging out there having a beer with fucking Orange Cassidy, Zack Sabre Jr., talking wrestling with fucking Mike Quackenbush and all that stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. But apparently, yeah, so the guy... the guy was going after the dude's son and wife because they don't like the fact he's been outspoken about Schlack and other issues in wrestling. Mm-hmm. So Marcus Crane is... but Marcus Crane and Schlack don't tend to get used in any of the big GCW... those kind of big GCW shows.
No.
It's sort of like... yeah, they get put on the shit shows that, you know, for the super hardcore fans, but not stuff for the ones who were... they know more casual fans are going to look to, which is actually a really smart thing, because they don't want, you know, somebody who never really watches wrestling, watch the show, look up Schlack and go, I ain't going to support this product ever again. And in some cases, I don't know how much Joey Janela gets along with those dudes, really not at all.
Yeah, I don't see him interacting with those guys ever, really.
No, it's sort of like, I mean, he's probably acquaintances and cool with them, but it's clear Joey Janela has a vision for pro wrestling, and he doesn't see guys like Schlack and Marcus Crane really being helpful towards that vision of wrestling. Like, he sees, like, Nick Gage as a good force in wrestling. He sees Mike Quackenbush or David Starr or guys or Matt Riddle or PCO, guys from different things. He sees a certain amount of death matches important, a certain amount of technical craft, brawling, and yeah, guys like Schlack and Marcus Crane just sort of represent the dumpster part of wrestling.
And that's why they're not booked on Joey Janela's shit. Because, like, okay, so here's the matches so far that I believe that's been announced for it. Like, because it's Dickinson versus Teddy Hart, Mang versus Nick Gage, we just mentioned him, Matt Vril versus PCO, and Hakushi versus Joey Janela. That's the one so far.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting show, and I definitely plan on trying to get on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, a dude that I know actually copped tickets for that one, and he's going to it, so I'm a little jealous. But he's from New York, so it makes sense.
I was going to say you should rob him, but, you know.
Yeah, I wish I should. I wish I could.
yeah, pro wrestling. It's both beautiful and toxic. Of course, that's like basically 90% of all entertainment. Comic books, video games.
All that shit.
Fucking A. Fuck Comicsgate and fuck Gamersgate. I don't know. And I'm sure fuck WrestlingGate when that eventually happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, shit's hitting the fan. But yeah, oh, actually, shit. One breaking news I just found out. Kenny King will be on season 5 of Bachelor in Paradise. The ABC show brings together former contestants from The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and other spin-off shows who were unlucky in love on their relative seasons to see if they find love in this new setting of a dreamy oasis in Mexico. Lane was on season 13 of The Bachelorette just last year, but ended in place after leaving the show as he was missing his daughter, Mackenzie. So the reason that he didn't advance further in The Bachelorette was because he left for his family. It was announced back in June 26 that he would be taking part in this year's Bachelor in Paradise, and the show premieres next week, Tuesday, August 7th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central on ABC.
Kenny King.
I remember when he was a Chippendales dancer. Chippendales. Good stuff. But yeah, that's all I got.
Alright, well, Oh, god damn it, DC Comics.
What'd they do this time?
I keep waiting for them to put out this very famous Shazam hardcover with one of the first serialized stories, and they keep planning to put it out, but I mean, and I understand why they keep canceling it, because, you know, it was the 40s, so there's, you know, racial character types in there, right? Characters. But apparently people got on and complained about it again, so DC once again canceled it, so...
Oh, DC.
So, I mean, I understand why. I'm just really fucking pissed. I'm gonna have to just try to track it and read it on, online. Somewhere. But, because it's supposed to be one of the classic shit stories of that era, and they haven't really reprinted a lot of that stuff. I mean, but all the comics from the 40s had racist ass shit in it.
Yeah.
We've grown as people. I can read that shit and understand that it was a product's time.
Yeah, it was a product of its time. shit. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people enjoy shit that wouldn't fly this time, but wouldn't be, like, openly celebrating it. It's like, oh, let's bring this shit back.
Yeah. Yeah, oh well. That just saves me money. I need to cut back on some comics. I just got a box full of comics I need to read, including the first volume of Grant Morrison's Batman Omnibus. I'm not going to get volumes 2 and 3 because I'm pretty sure I have the special absolute editions for everything that comes out after that. That's the only reason I bought this one, is because I was waiting for a large collection of some of the stuff before Batman and Robin and Batman Incorporated. And then, I'm rereading one of my favorite mangas, 20th Century Boys. You ever heard of that one?
No.
Alright, well, the guy who does it is really famous in Japan. He's been doing manga for a long time, but it wasn't until, like, 10 years they started talking about him in the States for the book Monster, which was really good. But 20th Century Boys was a crazy-ass long manga about this guy in 97 who realizes that this kind of, him and his friends used to hang out and, you know, make up stories about heroes fighting bad guys. And in his, late 30s or something, he finds out that somebody's taken the kid's book of prophecies they made as a bunch of kids and is actually making bad shit happen. So him and his friends are trying to figure out who it is and prevent the destruction of the world or the conquest of the world. But the guy's also done Monster, which was pretty cool. It was about a Japanese doctor working in Germany who saved the kid's life, and that kid ended up being kind of a serial killer. A crazy cult character all these cult people are gathering around. And then he did he actually remade an old Astro Boy story, made it super hardcore sci-fi. It's called Pluto. Some good shit, but some people call 20th Century Boys like Japan's answer to The Watchmen, which I don't agree with because it's completely fucking different and a whole shit longer than the fucking Watchmen. But it's really good. But now I gotta put that on pause to read all these comics. I just read the latest saga. It's going on a hiatus. Right when they hit you with the big ass fucking death scene and shit. Fuck you, Brian Vaughn. Whatever. But, yeah. So, lots of comics to read, lots of manga to reread. I'm actually doing pretty well about reading books this year. And Gravity Falls came out on Blu-ray, if you're into that show. Real good. Rewatched it. You ever saw it?
No.
It was originally on Disney, but Shout TV put it out because Disney's weird about putting out stuff that isn't quite Disney-like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because Gravity Falls, if you didn't know it was a Disney show, you would assume it was from, like, Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon or something.
Yeah, because I heard of Gravity Falls, but I never really, like... Was it,
oh, yeah.
Who's the creator? What was it, the Alex Hirsch guy or something like that?
Yeah, he did a few voices on Rick and Morty. He's buddies with those guys.
Yeah.
It's a really good show. Like I said, the humor is more what you would see in a Cartoon Network show. It has Jason Ritter does the voice for Dipper, the Kristen Shaw, you know, from Bob's Burgers and The Last Man Standing. She does the voice for the sister Mabel. What's her name? Who was on like Freaks and Geeks, and she's done a bunch of voices. I forget her name. Linda Candolini. She played Velma in Scooby Doo movie. She's does one of the voices on it too. J.K. Simmons does one of the voices. It's a good cast. It only ran two seasons and has some for a Disney TV show had slightly darker humor.
Oh yeah.
So very good. And always DuckTales was cool because they brought back Don Carnage from Tailspin. So that was the shit. I don't know, that might have been... Tailspin might have been before your era, man.
All right.
You can catch me on Twitter, where I post, you know, retweet GIFs and talk trash about Trump. That's CM Towns. I'm also on Instagram, westside.goth. And, I occasionally update my blog. I'm going to have to write a couple reviews, but that's mygeekdom.wordpress.com. Yep, that's it for me.
All right. So, of course, Rant EM Radio on Twitter. You can check out rantemradio.com, where you can listen to us Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Yada, yada, yada. Flagship show, The Rant. Freaks and Never Geeks, Turbo Throwback, Shining Wizard Podcast, yada, yada. And for me, you can check out my Tumblr, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday 519 on Twitter is my primary. Actually, shit, man, I'm all over the fucking place. It's at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube is my primary channel. Secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. Yeah, that was a mess today, but of course we're gonna end it on a high note though. And hey. Smoke weed every day.